Oh, there we go.
Mr. Jones and me. Stare at the beautiful women. I don't think no, she's looking at me.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That is your 4:30 90s. Counting Crows. Mr. Jones, I could tell that was coming when Jack watched the Counting Crows documentary this weekend.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Pretty good. I was a Counting Crowsman back in the day.
Well, I mean, who isn't a Counting Crowsman? On some level.
They got mocked there for a little bit.
Well, everyone who gets popular gets mocked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's only been one other player besides Jalix Hunt in the Super Bowl era to lead their team in both categories, sacks and interceptions. That is Sean Springs for the 04 Washington Redskins.
Wow.
Now,
a corner led the team in sacks?
There you go. Had six sacks and five interceptions, and Jalix Hunt, 6.5 sacks and three interceptions. Now, there have been a few players who have tied for the lead in both categories. Lawrence Timmons in 2012 did it for the Steelers. Junior Seau did it once in 97. Joey Porter and Adalius Thomas and Jason Taylor. Wow. So they all didn't have the solo lead. They tied one of the categories or the others. But Jalix Hunt, only the second player in Super Bowl era history to actually lead their team in both sacks and interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been outstanding. He's on that little run that we saw Nolan Smith on the second half of last season, where he just seems to be around the football all the time, around the quarterback all the time. And he's dropping back in coverage. And it actually looks like he knows what he's doing when he dropped back in coverage.
Was a safety.
Yeah, yeah, so, you know, I mean, listen, that's one of those players that will be lauding Howie Roseman for years to come, that they found this kid. You know, not only did they find him in the third round, I still don't know what school he went to.
Houston Baptist.
Yeah, I still don't know where that is.
And Colgate before that.
Yeah,
Cornell.
Cornell.
I always say Colgate.
It doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, this kid has been an outstanding player and is going to – Jalix Hunt, even though it's just his second year, when you get a player like that doing what he's doing, that makes – making what seemingly could be a tough decision easier because you have him.
With a different player.
Yes, with a different player.
Yeah.
Jalen Phillips.
Yeah.
Do you pay Jalen Phillips to come back here next year?
Or do you pay Nolan Smith?
Do you pay Nolan Smith? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so, and that's what you're looking at. And you got him for another couple of years. Well, since he was not a first-round pick, he's going to be eligible for a new contract after next year.
Right. The first deal he signs is a 4-year deal.
Yes.
It's a 5-year deal.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And you made that point there about the interceptions. When you think about an edge getting interceptions, a lot of the times it's tipped or, it's thrown right to you. That interception yesterday was a guy that played secondary.
Yeah, he made a play on the ball.
Yeah. I mean, that was a real interception. You know, he's a player, man. Jalix Hunt is a player. What a draft pick he's going to end up being. You know, for him to have the most pressures and the most sacks on the team, that's a crazy thing.
You're talking about putting him next to Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis.
Yep.
You know, if they do decide to bring Jalen Phillips back, it wouldn't shock me because that's a position they spend money on. But what do you do?
Yeah.
I would bring Jalen Phillips back.
Yeah, well, it depends on the market. Like, if somebody's going to pay him, you know –
and I don't think they will
unless he has
a crazy run here in the postseason.
Yeah,
he's getting a ridiculous contract.
When he first got here, it looked like he was going to get that sort of contract. Those first two games hasn't looked like that, you know, since. But hasn't been hurt either, which is good too.
Yep.
So we mentioned
5'8". I mean, that's all we do is produce.
It's incredible.
Yeah, besides Jordan Avery and.
Well, yeah.
We had a little downgrade. It's been brought back.
Yes.
I mean, Cole.
I mean, Trent Cole's your all-time sack leader.
Yeah. Wait till Jalix Hunt gets
back. Jalix Hunt, officially my favorite player on the Eagles.
All right.
Now,
you do love your obscure
I do.
Mostly upset.
And he had
points.
A good interview with us at first.
Yeah.
He did say big pimpin' to Howie, which is good to me. Has a great, you know, seems to have a great personality which I like.
I've listened to him on the mic'd ups. Well, he seems like he got a good personality.
Oh, and 58 sort of, trying to find the cameras and the mic'd ups?
Yeah. Man,
where have we seen that before? Yeah, there he is again.
Good point. It's worked out well for
him. It has. It's a smart move.
About 11 years when Jack and Jalex take over the afternoon show.
Right. Jack and Jalex?
Jack and Jalex.
Dude, that's not a bad name.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Put Jalex's name first.
Yeah, Jalex and Jack.
We'll see how his career goes.
We'll see how your career goes.
Wow.
All right. I mentioned a few minutes ago, there was a situation in Philadelphia, sports-wise, that we are monitoring.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Jack brought it up to me on the phone earlier today. And to be quite honest with you, I don't even want to be monitoring it publicly because it feels like a potential jinx.
Mm-mm.
Sixers start this 5-game road trip very poorly with a loss to the Nets, which was disgusting.
That's almost unheard of.
They lost to the Nets?
Yeah.
Yes.
Disgusting loss to the Nets.
I did not watch that game.
And then a loss to the Bulls, which wasn't quite as disgusting.
Yeah. They blew that lead, right?
That's the one they blew at the end. Yeah.
Then they beat the Grizzlies. Okay, whatever. They play one of their best games of the year in Dallas against the Mavericks. Offensively, one of the best games of the year. And then go to Madison Square Garden and beat the Knicks again. And
solid win.
And the thing that is notable about it is that the young guys are playing great. You know, VJ Edgecombe is playing great. I mean, unreal big shots against both the Mavericks and the he hit the game winner against the Grizzlies at Madison Square Garden, hitting big shots down the stretch.
Yes.
But the thing that makes it the most compelling is they're doing it with Embiid and George. And Embiid is looking sort of light on his feet.
Pretty spry.
By Embiid standards. And
as soon as he started doubting him, by the way.
I know. That's why I'm still going to continue to doubt him. And he's not like, I would say, the Dallas and New York games. The reason they were specifically notable offensively is that Embiid has been a part of the offense, but he hasn't been a slow it down and get it to Joel part of the offense. He has moved the ball well. It's not like he's been scoring 38. You know, I think he had 22 against the Mavericks and 26 or 28 against the Knicks. He's moving the ball. You know,
what was that pass on Saturday? Guy went back door. It was beautiful.
Oh yeah. Well, he does. He's thrown it to. I think he got guys who
Hold
cut
on.
Now.
What's that face for?
Yeah.
You don't think I started to talk backdoor cuts?
Well, it's Barlow.
A little Prince in offense.
Barlow makes great. You know, makes great. I don't know it.
That Ike face was so fun.
You can't watch these games and not get a little tingle.
Yeah, it's kind of moving.
A little tingle.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to work at not going overboard.
Yes.
It's an art, man. I'm telling you, it's an art. So here's what I've done.
Yeah.
And I know it's harder for you to do because you actually do a Sixer podcast.
Yes.
So you actually have to watch these games.
Watch them and then talk about them right
afterwards.
And
talk about them right afterwards. Yeah. So you can't necessarily take the formula that I use, which is I watch when I feel like watching. I can check in. If it's a good game, I'll stick with it. You know, I can look and see what Embiid has done. Okay, Embiid played. That's all I need to know. He's played. Then I'll see, okay, how effective was he? Right? And so the more that I see that he's playing and that they're winning, I'm just like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
It's a nice little treat.
Yep. Yeah.
Nice little treat.
Yep. But I'm with you, though. It's
and we have,
just keep building. Just keep building.
It feels like they're figuring it out.
Just keep building.
And you got to stop it.
But he's
no, you got to stop it.
But he's not doing his Joel nonsense. He's okay being like the third option.
Well,
second option. PG's filling
his role.
He's
not demanding the ball. Yes.
Dude, PG's scoring when they need him to score.
He's got it.
Edgecombe is shutting down Jalen Brunson, playing with a little energy, blocking shots, hitting big clutch threes. Guy's a winner.
Well, Edgecombe
reminds me of one.
Edgecombe is awesome. I mean, for him to get better at the things that he's not good at, he had two questions coming in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He had his handle and his shot. The
handle's still in progress.
Handle's in progress.
Yeah,
well,
that's
going to be a couple of years.
Yeah.
But the shot, like, looks pure. Now, he will – you know how he's shooting it? He is shooting it like a guy – who they helped rebuild his shot, and he's thinking about it the right way every time. That's why it's taken a while, right? He's making sure he's square. Mm-hmm. He's making sure his elbow is where it should be. But he's shooting 39% from three on six shots a game.
And that, the best thing is he doesn't look like he's forcing the offense.
No.
He doesn't have any issues with getting the ball off the glass, you know, getting the sort of hustle points. Right?
Yep.
If somebody drives and kicks it out to him, he's not afraid to shoot it. He's playing within that framework, and he's doing a lot of the little Energizer Bunny stuff that you need from a player that's young as he is with the type of legs that he has, because he's young, he's athletic, he can do all those things for you. I'm actually more concerned with Embiid and Paul fitting in around what they're doing. Because I wonder, I was always afraid – do they get frustrated because they're vets? They want the offense to sort of go through them. And does that take away from everybody else?
Well, the question with Embiid is, he's letting them do it now.
Yeah.
The last few games. The question with him is, as these guys get talked about mm-hmm. more and more.
Is he okay with that?
Are you all right with that?
Yeah.
Are you all right with somebody else getting shine, like they're going to get shine? But, Edgecombe, you said it. I mean, he's doing all the things you expected him to do. We expect him to be an energy guy, mm-hmm. you know, rebound well for a guard, play defense. Mm-hmm. But he's added in the other stuff.
Yep.
He looks like he could be a real player. And he's doing it on a team that's winning basketball games,
yep.
which most times when you see rookies that are averaging like 17, 6, and 5, it's for
a bad team.
Yep. And I give credit, 100% credit to Tyrese Maxey. Because Tyrese Maxey reaching out to him in the offseason, working out with him in the offseason, let him know, there is an order of operations here. I'm going to take you under my wing, but I'm the guy. You're the guy that needs to fit in. And
yeah.
I think he looks at Maxey as a vet and as a leader and those sorts of things.
And the face of the franchise.
And that is one thing that they have never had. Even being good, Embiid has never been a leader, has never been the guy to take the young guy under his wing. Now, he has a good relationship with Maxey,
sure.
but it's hard when you're not a vocal guy, when you're spending the whole offseason rehabbing from injuries
yeah.
instead of playing basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and Maxey, I don't want to leave this out. He is so much better than I ever dreamed he could be. I mean, he gets better every year. Every time he shoots a three, I expect it's going to go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And he's become a good defensive player.
Yeah.
At his size, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Sounds like you're starting to believe.
I'm not believing.
Well, the other thing that Embiid has to continue to do is allow Maxey to lead this team.
Yes.
If you're not comfortable doing it and you've shown that in the past, allow Maxey's personality, that smile, to continue to be infectious. The fact that he's younger, he's more relatable to these young guys on the team, and he's more willing to do the other stuff, go out to dinner with the guys, hang with them on the road, sort of be that guy. That is going to keep the locker room atmosphere where it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
which is not focused on Joel Embiid and his mood swings.
Yes.
And that's where my biggest thing for Joel is. Let Maxey continue to do that. You'll continue to get stronger and better, going at the slow pace, that's meaning that not forcing it or rushing it. And then guess what? You're going to look up in April. You're going to probably feel better than you ever have in your career, at least in a long time. And your guys are going to have a good basketball team that can actually do something once you get there. But you got to let this thing continue to evolve the way that it is. And he's just getting better. I'm watching Embiid. He's still the second best player on the team.
I mean, he's still, yeah,
he just is.
Yeah.
And any night he can be the best player
best
on the
player
team.
On the
yeah,
team.
Yeah, yeah.
I was
going to
say that.
Best player on the team.
As good as Maxey is,
yeah.
like, Embiid.
He's still the guy,
he's
yes.
the key to them winning.
Doing
something.
Anything significant.
Yes,
yes. I totally agree. And
yes.
he has to be okay with letting them handle it now.
Yes.
And just get stronger and everything else so that you can have that 2-month run at the end of the year.
Yeah, and the other guys that they were able to pick up, Barlow's been awesome.
That's all good young guys,
that's
yeah.
That's a two-way guy that's starting.
Mm-hmm.
Jabari Walker has been a good backup power
mm-hmm.
forward.
Mm-hmm.
And even Bona.
Bona.
They have these lineups
the
with Embiid and Bona at the same time. It looks like the court is half the size because the other team doesn't have anywhere to go because you have these, you know, a 6'9" guy and a 7-footer that are both – you know, patrolling the paint. I don't know. It has been
good
fun.
Stuff.
I've been trying to – you mentioned the podcast. What we do is we have 25 minutes of talking about how good it is, and then we both remind each other, but this is just a nice little treat right now. We're not going to expect
it's
it
not
to
easy. Because you got, like I said, you got to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know it can't be easy to not pay attention to it.
And we're getting in a rhythm betting them, too.
Yeah,
we are.
But see, you get all this, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to lose the friggin' Nuggets without Jokic tonight. I can I can smell it.
Nah, not this team. Not this year.
Okay. See, you're going to be the guy that I have to fight for.
Yeah, he's the guy, yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
You're not going to do your little Jack thing with the Sixers where you become the leader of positivity.
Right.
No.
Positive Jack?
I know your little Jack thing.
Positive Jack?
I know this thing that you
Quentin Grimes plus 800 or four threes the other night? Come on, man.
All right.
In Dallas? It's a revenge spot.
You also bet on Deuce McBride. Don't
all every night.
Okay.
He's never misses a shot against the Sixers.
Not five, against the Sixers.
Five threes, like plus 950.
215-592-9494. Ron in Bristol. You're on WIP.
I'm
what's
so
up, Ron?
I'm distraught with gambling. Don't even talk
to me. Oh, he hasn't won a bet since August.
Yeah, exactly.
Ron, you're on WIP. This is a buzz issue.
Buzz.
I can see when he's checking on people and when he's not.
Ron.
Ron, are you having a mute?
Wow.
Buzz, pop up for a second.
Yeah,
when was the last time
here.
You checked in on
I have not
guys?
Checked once today.
There you go.
Oh!
This is honest.
Look at the honesty hour here on WIP.
New year, new honesty.
So busy talking down to everybody on Twitter about what they should expect.
Yeah, seriously.
Here's the adult in the room freaking Buzz.
Yeah, where's Holier Than Thou Buzz, which is coming out on Twitter. He hosts one show with Rube on Saturday, starting to feel a little cocky.
Yeah. In fact, we heard from Rube. Rube doesn't ever want to host with you again. That's what he said.
It's not what he said.
215-590. He might have said that.
He might have said that.
Yeah. Bruce in D.C. You're on WIP. What's up for you, Bruce?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody doing today? I'm not doing any howling because I'm pissed off right now.
Okay. All right.
There it is.
Oh, look at you.
Little howl.
Okay.
Little whimper.
Spike, the way you open the show, my goodness. I'm just 100% with you on how this whole thing was handled. You know, I mean, it's one thing to, okay, you're going to go with the starters or you're going to go with the bench and just basically just poorly manage this game. And I'm not going to go about, you know, getting away with the number two seed, which is exactly what's happened here. But they had a chance to win this game. And here's my concern going forward. Okay, is game management. Okay, you set basically Tanner up for failure. I've never been really one of those people on the Tanner bandwagon as far as Jalen, but you didn't give him the proper talent out there to succeed. So that's probably one of the problems that we saw. But when he was able to move the ball, I want to know whose decision it was to sit Tank Bigsby. You know, if you would have kept him in the fourth quarter, I think they could have won that game. And this is a microcosm of what has been going on all year long between our OC and Sirianni. It's not only just play calling, but how you manage your personnel and put them in positions it's going to help the team succeed. And I'm not worried about San Francisco going forward, but it's what is going to happen after that. And unless they come out with something dramatically different on the offense, in this next week, it's going to be hard. I'm just going to be hard pressed to really believe that they're going to walk into Chicago and win this game. And that's really my biggest take on what I've seen so far.
Yeah, or Bruce, Green Bay walks into Chicago and beats them, and we get the Rams here next week.
Yeah.
And that's probably even a taller order.
Certainly a better team. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just think that we made this playoff run harder than we've given ourselves a more difficult path in going forward. But you know what? I'm going to try to be the eternal optimist and say hopefully they got something up their sleeve. I tell you one thing that they better do. They better use the tank more in the offense. They have to do that. They have to do that, and Jalen has to use his legs more. The only positive thing I've seen in these last few games is that they cut down on their penalties, and that's really been a good thing. So they seem they solved their problem. But everything else, We're just going to wait and see. We're going to wait and see what happens.
I'd be shocked if Tank gets more than four carries Sunday.
Totally shocked. Yeah, thank you for the call, Bruce. He didn't look good.
I mean, yes, we've been calling for him to get the ball for weeks, so, and the Eagles haven't done that. And so that lets you know that he's not all of a sudden about to be a big part of the offense.
Do you think they maybe pulled him because they didn't want him to get hurt?
Yeah.
Like, is that possible?
It's the only thing I could think of.
Or they knew that me and Ike had him plus 1,500 for two touchdowns.
You are out of control right now.
You are out of control.
They knew.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand. In a game where you see the scoreboard.
Yeah.
You literally see what the Lions are. That the Lions are winning that game.
Yeah.
How do you not keep Tank Bigsby as one of the guys that was playing as a backup in the game? I just don't know. I don't know what they were thinking in that situation. I certainly was like, where the hell is Tank Bigsby at? Man, I haven't seen him since the third quarter.
There's no way they didn't want to play Green Bay.
Right?
Right. I'm just trying to think of what the motivation would be.
I agree, man. I don't know. That was a strange one. Just like not running the ball on third and one in the first half. They didn't do it then. I'm like, okay, they ain't do the tush push. We done gave up on that now. We don't even do the tush push.
We didn't even do a sneak.
Yeah.
What happened to just being able to do a regular?
So then, for me, I wouldn't have even gone for it on fourth down. I would have just took the three.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you got to win this game. This is not a time to be messing around. And even then, you saw Detroit was leading Chicago. They went from 3-0, 6-0, to 13-0.
Yeah.
To 16-0. So you saw all of that for three quarters, and then Chicago started coming back.
They played the game like it was a preseason game, and
yes,
it didn't matter.
And I couldn't believe that.
It mattered. I'm sorry. Having the 2 seed rather than the 3 seed, it just matters. It's insane to think that it doesn't matter. Tank did have probably my favorite block of the year. I don't know if it's holding or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when he catches the guy,
Bobby Wagner,
lifts him into the air and then power slams him to prevent him from hitting Tanner McKee.
So he was out there for that.
Yeah, but I don't remember
that was the third quarter.
That was the third quarter.
Because they were going the other way at the end of the game. They were going the other way.
So was Bigsby not in the game in the fourth, or was he just not running the ball? I don't remember.
I haven't rewatched it, but it felt like he wasn't even out there. I saw a lot more of Shipley in that fourth quarter.
It became difficult for me to watch the game at a certain point. because I start the way that I watch games now is I think to myself, well, what am I going to talk about? I think to myself, well, I'm not going to talk about this game that much. And it was a horrible game, I thought.
Yeah.
So it was all a blur.
But it became more intense.
Well, it became important.
When it looked like the Lions were going to win the
game. And it felt like Tanner felt the intensity rise, too.
Yes, he did. Tanner choked.
Dude, Tanner looked at the scoreboard and was like,
oh
crap.
Oh, God, I got to go win this game.
I got to lead the team down the field. What?
Yeah.
That's not what I do. That was a concerning moment.
Somebody get my clipboard.
I got to talk to Ike and Hugh and Ellie, the players' lounge tomorrow.
Well, listen, we had people on Twitter talking about putting Devontae back in the game.
Well, people want the starters back in the second half.
Yeah, not just back in.
They're never in.
McManus asked Sirianni about it after the game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Did you consider it? You can't put guys in there.
There's no way. Yeah.
They didn't even warm up.
Yeah.
What are you crazy?
No way.
Could you imagine that?
It
would have been the greatest day in WIP history.
That's about a cluster bleep. I mean, that's what that is.
They put all the starters in?
Yeah.
Put on your helmets?
It's actually worse than the Washington debacle in 2020.
That's what I thought about. Would have been worse than that.
Dude, they pulled Jalen in the fourth quarter at the lead.
Oh, the one that we gave up.
Doug refused to pull him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Well, he clearly could have just did it at halftime. And been done with it.
Yep.
And you know how we were sitting there.
Kept him out there and just like, hold on. Are we trying to win this game?
They're texting him.
Yes.
Yeah.
The phone's unplugged on the sidelines.
Somebody's throwing the banana peels in front of Howie as he's trying to get to the field to tell Doug to pull him.
Get him. And then they pulled him and lost.
Right.
And the Giants will never forget it.
And the Giants will never forgive us for that.
Yep.
Remember that, Tom Coughlin?
No, that was Joe Judge, right?
Yeah, it was Judge.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Joe Judge, yeah. Joe Judge.
What a clown that guy was.
Whoa, total man. Clown, yeah.
Remember he had the coaches running laps?
Yeah, of course. Do you remember? What do you? He ran like he went for it on like fourth and one on their 10-yard line.
on the, their own
coming
10.
Out?
Yeah. It was crazy. And he screwed up the he's a college coach now. He screwed up one of the games this weekend.
They've had some coaches. Yeah. They've had some coaches in New York.
Remember Ole Miss before halftime? They it ran out of time?
No.
Because they didn't manage it well at all?
It was him.
It was all Joe Judge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is he, the OC?
Yeah.
Oh.
They had Gase. It was a disaster.
Adam
the Jets.
Well, the Jets.
Yeah.
But just New York.
Well, McAdoo. I mean, going from
Gase had the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they at least had Rex Ryan and Coughlin. There was some stability.
Yeah, but then
and
it's
then
been
the
a disaster.
McAdoo.
Well, they should fire Aaron Glenn. They should fire him right now. 215-592-9494.
Yeah, you're a DB.
Do you have one interception?
It's unbelievable.
All right, 215-592-9494. Top 5 at 5 is coming up next.
Blame. Accountability.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, the wild card round is here, and FanDuel is turning on playoff mode. All customers get a profit boost pack every NFL game day. Each game day during the wild card round, you'll find a pack loaded with multiple profit boosts waiting for you in the app. Pick the matchups you believe in. I got a couple I like this weekend. I'll tell you what, that Jacksonville-Buffalo game, I think I might like Jacksonville in that game at home. I definitely like the Texans over Pittsburgh. Give me the Eagles over the Niners. And who else do we have? I don't worry. I'll give you the rest of the games as we get through the week. Now, take your shot on an upset or build a parlay that fits the moment. Then apply your profit boost and go after even bigger payouts while the playoffs get rolling. So, visit FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL, and grab your profit boost pack every NFL playoff game day.